My message tonight is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18. And in verse 24, we have the gospel. Now, this gospel is found everywhere in the Bible, but there are some parts of Scripture that have it more clearly than others. And the main purpose for the church, the gathering of the people of God like this, is in order to hear the gospel. And whether you profess to be a Christian tonight, you need to hear this old, old story of Jesus and his love. And of course, it's not just for the Lord's people, it's for everybody else as well. So in that sense, the biggest event of the church is the preaching of the gospel. And next Saturday evening, we won't be having a manse meeting. We will be meeting here or in the hall behind in order to hear God's servants bring the gospel. And the message that we have to bring before you tonight puts the gospel as a challenge. It's Elijah that's speaking, and this is his question. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. Now, I hope you haven't come here with a closed mind, that you're either rejecting Christianity outright, and you've just come to church because you've been invited to, or because you have to, or as one who professes to be a Christian, you're not going to think about other religions. Well, that's not right in both cases to have a closed mind. I want the truth. If Christianity isn't true, I'm not interested. I'd rather follow another religion or no religion at all. So the challenge of the prophets to the people of his day is the same question that we need to address tonight. The God who answers by fire, he is the true God. Now, Elijah wasn't just preaching to the converted. There's something very contemporary about the scene that's before us in this chapter. You have, on the one hand, the other religions, the followers of Baal. There were hundreds of them on top of this mountain, Mount Carmel, where Elijah spoke these words. And isn't that what we've witnessed in the last few decades? The coming and the growth of other religions in Wales. We read now of mosques being built and plans for very large ones as well. Now, it's not my place to say a word against that tonight. That's just the fact. Just as Elijah had hundreds of these followers of Baal, so we have a great number of people in Britain today who are going for other religions. So that was on the one side. And then, on the other side, one man, Elijah. I don't know how you imagine him. I always imagine him as having a long beard. He was standing alone for the God of Israel, the religion that we have here tonight, Christianity. It's the same God that we worship, as Elijah did. So he was definitely in the minority. And then, in between, the masses of the people, far greater than the followers of Baal, and definitely more than one person, Elijah, they were just disinterested. They were sitting on the fence. And isn't that just the same as today? people are amoral, a-religious. They don't seem to have any sets of definite beliefs. And the challenge that Elijah puts before the people of his day is the challenge I want us to consider tonight. The God who answers by fire, let him be the true God. That's the test. That's the competition, as it were. And I just want us to consider this. And this wasn't entertainment, right? Elijah here was putting his life in danger. If his God wasn't going to win this competition, he was probably going to be put to death. So it was a very great undertaking for him to stand alone before all these people and put this claim before them. Now, are you going to approach this subject tonight with an open mind? And as I put the same question as Elijah before you, the God who answers by fire, let him be the one that you go for and follow. Let's see, what's this test then? What is this fire that is attributed to God? Well, the first criteria in this test is this. The fire of a holy God. All gods that people believe in are holy. The fire of the wrath of God coming down and consuming a sacrifice and being pacified. In other words, the first criteria is what religion gives me peace of conscience? What religion gives me a hope that causes me to know that I'm right with God and going to heaven? You see, Elijah had made this competition. He was guided by God in it, and he said that the prophets of Baal and he were to take these bullocks and they were to prepare an altar and that they were to put their bullock upon the altar but put no fire on it, and they were to call on their gods. And the God that sent down the fire from heaven was the God that won. And the first criteria in this competition, in terms of the God that answers by fire, is the fire of the holiness of God consuming the sacrifice, so that the person knows that they are right with God. His anger has been pacified. Now, that's the first criteria we need to consider tonight. I just want to ask you, friend, does your religion give you peace with God? Is your Christianity the sort that gives you such a hope? Now let's look at how the Baal worshippers went about it. That there is something very active about them. We heard this morning about people that were very zealous. Well, here are similar folk. Listen to their praying. Maybe this is you. They prayed from morning until noon. I've never spent all morning in prayer. Well, a long time ago. Have you ever done that? And they were earnest in prayer. Oh, Baal, hear us. And maybe that's you. You want peace with God. You've come to church tonight. You pray. You read your Bible. And you're going through this activity in order to pacify that flame of the wrath of God. And yet, the sad consequence is this. There was no voice, nor any that answered. Is that your religion? DIY. There's nothing new under the sun. In the New Testament, we had exactly the same sort of people thinking that by their religious deeds, by their good works, they were making themselves right with God. And this is the conclusion. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. No fire comes, there's no peace. We're in the same predicament as before, if not worse, because we've tried doing something about it. And when I try to deal something at home which requires DIY, I make it worse. Don't you find that in your experience? You see maybe a crack in the plaster, and you examine it and say to yourself, what's this crack? And you begin to unravel it. And by the end, there's a big gaping hole. You should have called the professionals to do it. And it's just the same when it comes to DIY Christianity. You are praying, you are coming to church, you are doing good works, and all those things in and of themselves are right. But they're never meant to give you peace with God. If I could do exactly what Elijah said, I know I'm not supposed to. In verse 27, he mocked them. We're not supposed to make fun of other religions, are we? Well, I'm going to do it tonight because Elijah is doing it. We can't beat about the bush. Do you know you're going to heaven? Why bother coming to church? Why bother reading your Bible? Why bother praying if you don't have a peace in your heart about what's going to happen to you when you die? It's right, is it not, to have some gallows humor sometimes, if it gets you to see sense? Cry aloud, he says to these Baal worshippers, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or he's asleep and must be awaked. So is your Christianity or your religion or your system of belief just like the prophets of Baal? It's your efforts. And the harder you try, the worse it gets. Now what's Christianity? What's Elijah and his God like? Oh, notice the difference. There is fervor and a tiredness in the activity of the Baal worshippers. But when we come to Elijah, there's a calmness. Oh, listen to him. I'm skipping many verses. Verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Isn't that lovely? Listen to the prophets of Baal leaping upon the altar which they had made, crying aloud, cutting themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Isn't there an ugliness in religion? People dressing up in a way that pleases their God. People doing immoral deeds because it's got a religious tag to it. People who are religious and have no love in their hearts, abusing other people in the name of their God. That's ugly. When you come to Christianity, there's a beauty in it because there's peace. I'm reminded here of John Wesley, who was religious when he went to Georgia to convert the Indians. That's what I'm quoting now. I'm not making this up. And on the voyage back home on the ship, there was a huge storm, and the religious John Wesley was all over the place because he wasn't right with his God, and he didn't have peace about dying. And he witnessed a group of believers, and they had peace. And he wanted to know why. That's Christianity for you. And then you see Elijah prays, and how different his prayer is. Verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, this isn't crying in desperation. This is worship. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. the God of the covenants, the God who came hundreds of years before to Abraham in a pagan land and had mercy on him and said to him, Abraham, get out of this country and go to where I will show you and I will bless you. The God of Israel, Jacob, that wily character who we would never have considered as somebody to be friends with, but God was so compassionate toward him that he turned him around and made him a man that depended on God rather than on his own devices. The God of Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament, I've read the words of Paul in Romans, how God came to that legalist Pharisee and so worked in him that he became Paul the Apostle and preached good news instead of legalism. The God of John Newton. Have you heard the story of John Newton, the slave trader? While he was in a storm at sea, God met with him, and John Newton was broken. And John Newton said, I'm going to serve you if you get me out of this storm. The same man who wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. The God of many people here tonight who are not special, who have tried saving themselves in DIY Christianity, but who failed miserably and who've come to the end of themselves and who realize that it's got to be of grace. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free. And oh my God, it found out me. That's the God of Elijah. That's the God that I'm bringing before you tonight. And does that God give peace to the soul? And the answer is a resounding yes. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Why? Because God found a lamb for the sacrifice. 2,000 years ago, God sent somebody in. This isn't DIY Christianity. This isn't your efforts to save your soul by your own sacrifice. This is about God doing something, sending the perfect man into the world who's the Son of God, and that person going to a cross. And on that tree, he took the wrath of God upon himself. And he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the wrath of God was satisfied to look on him, to punish him, and pardon me. There you go. The God who answers by fire. How can this guilty conscience find peace? Not what I feel or do, but what Christ did 2,000 years ago. Not what you do now. You look back at that great demonstration of the love of God in Christ. I just want to tell you tonight, God loves sinners like you and I. And the more wretched you feel, the more right you have to go to Christ and say, I'm coming, Lord, now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. This God, and this God alone, can give you peace. And it's free, and you don't have to work for it. You know, there's a hymn which sums it all in this way. Great God of wonders. Isn't that true? I was standing on the top of Penavan the other day. Wonders. You can see the length of Mid Wales. Beautiful. Makes me glad to be a Welshman. Great God of wonders. All thy ways are matchless, godlike, and divine. But there's a mountain that's even more glorious than Penavan for the view. Calvary. But the fair glories of thy grace, more godlike and unrivaled shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Who has grace so rich and free? I'm not making fun of other religions now, but what other God offers forgiveness in that way? What other religion is a religion of grace? What other system has God himself coming to do the work? And what other scheme is moved by love? So that's the first criteria. Acceptance with God, because the fire of his wrath has been turned away from me and has been taken by another. And then there's another fire here. The fire of life. The fire of power. You know, Baal is quite pathetic, isn't he? Even if he was on a journey somewhere far away, he should have heard the cry of these people. He's not much of a god if he needs to be called back from a journey and cannot hear because he's too far away. Have you read some of the Psalms written about the idols of people round about Israel? They say some very direct things about them. They say that these idols need to be carried about. What's the point of having a God that needs to be carried about? If I can carry that God, he's not going to carry me, is he? If I'm down, I'll never forget being in Varanasi in India and seeing the gods needing transports. I'm not interested in such gods. How is such a God going to transport me through life to heaven if he cannot walk himself? There was an Elijah-like figure in Scotland many centuries ago called John Knox, and he was on board a ship once. He was a prisoner, and the people imprisoning him were Roman Catholics, and they knew Knox was a Protestant, and they wanted Knox to kiss the statue of the Virgin Mary. They believed the Virgin Mary could save, you see. Do you know what Knox did? He threw the statue of the Virgin Mary into the ocean and said, if she's a god, let her swim. She can save herself. Well, she sank. The God who answers by fire, not just the fire of his wrath being pacified and me being accepted, but the fire of life, the true and the living God. That's the God I want. There's no answer from Baal because there's no God. And, oh, my friend, how can I put this to you as kindly as possible? Your God is probably just the figment of your own imagination. Wish fulfillment theory. Have you heard about that? That people have what they want. And so, there can't be a hell because I don't want hell. There's got to be a God who likes everything I like, because that's what I want. Wish fulfillment. Well, can you see that Christianity is not wish fulfillment? Because there are things I'm bringing before you tonight which I naturally don't like. Who wants to preach on hell? Who wants to talk about the holiness of God? These things are difficult subjects, but doesn't that prove that this is the truth? I remember when I first heard about the true and the living God, I didn't like it in one sense. Yes, he's the God of love, but at the same time, he's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And I knew I was unclean, and I felt uncomfortable in the presence of such a being. But he's true. And I want to tell you tonight about the fire of life that there is in the Spirit of God when he touches your hearts. I didn't go out looking for the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came after me. And at first it wasn't easy, but there was life there. And I began to see the world in a different light. The Bible world became the real world now, and all that mattered was that my soul was safe. for we're not here for long, are we? It's that great eternity that we're heading to, and all I want is to be in heaven. I know it's possible just to want to escape hell and not have God for his own sake, but oh, when you have life in you, spiritual life, then you yearn for him. And that's the God I'm offering to you tonight. You cannot make yourself a Christian. You must be born again. And God can do this. If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. What objection do you have to Christianity? I can't do it, you say. I can't believe. Of course you can't. But God can do it, and he invites you to come. You got no excuse, you see. Or you say to me, but don't Christians behave dishonorably? I know they do, and they are not a good advertisement, but that's not what Christianity is really about. When a person becomes a Christian, he has the Spirit of God within him, the Spirit of Christ. What was Christ like when he walked this earth? Christ loved people. Christ tried to better society. Christ served God. And that's what will happen in you. There will be life. There will be a life that will not center around yourself, but it will go Godward. The life of God in the soul of man. And if you look back at this country and look at the periods when Christianity was alive here, when there were revivals, then this country was a better place. Have you heard of the time when there weren't any court cases for a year? In South Wales, of all places, no court cases. Because people had been saved. The power of the Spirit had come, refining them, and they weren't interested in breaking the law. Even better than that, there was a year when there were no rugby matches. Not that there's anything wrong with rugby, but people were so preoccupied with heaven and God and spiritual things that they didn't have time even for legitimate things such as rugby. The God who answers by fire, you see, not just the fire of peace with God, but the fire of life. What other religion produces life? What other religion improves society? The way I see it, religion in and of itself makes things worse. It polarizes people. You only have to look at Northern Ireland and at Iraq and at other parts of the world. But when it's Christianity, not partisan Christianity, but when it's the real thing, when it's an experience of God through believing in Jesus Christ that happens, then it makes society better. So there we go, the God who answers by fire. I cannot go after other religions. I cannot be satisfied with another kind of Christianity because it never gives me peace and there's no spiritual life there. But this Christianity, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, this gives my guilty conscience peace, and there's life. Sometimes when I want to give up, there's life. It won't let me. And this is what is being offered to you tonight for free. The God of Elijah is the God of this place. He's not changed. We've not really changed. Our problems are the same as that which faced the prophets. I'm too scared to live. I'm too scared to die. I can't conquer my sin. My relationships are broken. I have a gnawing within that this whole world can never fill. It's Christ. The Christ that Elijah saw very dimly. But the Christ which I'm preaching to you tonight clearly. That's what you need. You don't have to do with, as the prophets of Baal did. You don't have to go off on a pilgrimage to find Christ. You don't have to pray all morning in order to find him. You don't have to go through a religious course in order to get to him. You can find him now. He's near if you but believe in him. as you are, in your seats. You know, in some meetings they have people coming to the front if they believe in Christ. Why wait till the end of the meeting to believe in Christ? You can believe in him right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow, and certainly not till the end of the meeting. At this moment, you can say, Lord, I'm just a sinner. I can't do anything. But you've done everything. And I'm trusting you. And when you do that, there's life there. And that life will grow and blossom into eternity. The God who answers by fire, who's your God, I wonder? Is it the God of Elijah, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because if he's not your God, you've got no hope in life, and certainly no hope in death, and no direction to your life. But if you but go to Christ, he can become your God, and he will give you peace. He will give you joy, and he will give you a purpose. Oh, for tonight, in this time of great religious confusion, may the God who won the competition on Mount Carmel, may he win the competition here tonight, and may every one of us know that this God is ours. Now let's sing.